I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, folks. I'm Jack Kennedy, and welcome to Farm Tech Talk, the livestock show. The weather is up. There is hay down in some parts of the country, but still mixed weather in other parts. But I think it's fair to say most farmers are happy enough with the way the summer is going so far. Anyway, shout out to our supporters, Grassland Agro and ESB Networks, for helping us make this show happen. Let's hear from our specialists around the country as normal. I have quickfire questions for Declan, Darren and Aidan. Remember, email your questions to farmtechtalk@farmersjournal.ie or WhatsApp 086-836-6465. Declan, turning to you first, two quick fires in for you this week. First one, asked Declan, given what he knows of the current trade, would he castrate Charlie Sucker bulls that are heading for 12 months old now at 400 kilos or leave them entire and finish them as bulls? Declan, talk to me on the bulls.
Yeah, Jack, it's I probably wouldn't castrate 400 kilos, 12 months old. Like, if you look at the Markbids database this week, those animals, if you were to put them into the ring, they'll be probably making, an average one will be making 290 a kilo. The top third are probably making up to 320 a kilo. That puts them up at probably 1150 to 12, nearly 1300 quid at the top end of that. So that's one good option I see at the moment, is trading them there now while the trade is good. At 400 kilos, they probably have another 120, 140 days of feeding to go. So you're talking, you know, the guts of 1.5 tons of meal to go into those lads yet. So you're talking, could be north of €500 of feed to put them through. I think if I could get 1200, 1250 now, I'd be probably turning them in. And, you know, it's a gamble to put another €500 worth of feed into them and hope at beef price come October and early November that you're going to be positive territory.
Okay, because there is a bit of a slip in prices this week. We might come to that there later. Second question for you, Declan. I usually finish cattle off grass in late August, September with some meal feeding at grass. With the price of meal and fertilizer, am I better selling in the mart?
Yeah, that's probably topical at the moment. We're getting a few queries on that. Look, mart trade is still flying. It's been a slight check maybe in prices this week, but only small, and it's coming from a very high base. You are seeing some guys that would be typically finishing off grass later in the year, at least selling some stock, maybe, you know, just hedging their bets, putting in some, taking the pressure off grass, I suppose, as well, and cashing them in. So again, if you say a store animal 500 kilos, that's probably making 270-ish there, bullocks this week of the average. So again, you're up at the 1,270, 1,300 euro mark there. So you have less meal to go into that system, of course, if they're finishing off grass. But I'm assuming there is some meal going in there. You still have probably, say, 6 weeks at 4 kilos. So you still have 200 kilos of meal going into that system, cost of 80, 85 euro. I think, given where the trade is, if I was heavily stocked, I'd definitely be turning some of them out into the mart and making the most of the good trade. But it'll, suppose it depends on farm-to-farm situations. And if you want to go down the road of, you know, what do you do if you don't have any stock on the farm for the rest of the year? That's probably not ideal either. So definitely on heavier stock farms or, you know, down south where grass growth is under pressure, I'd definitely be tending to head to the mart with at least some of them.
Thanks, Declan. Chat to you in a minute. Darren, one quick fire in for you. Ask Darren, if he was a farmer with 120 yos, would he hold on to a couple of early yo lambs rather than sell them now to the factory instead of buying hoggets at the back end of the year if they're going to be scarce and expensive? Darren, talk to me. Look into your crystal ball for that one.
Yeah, Jack. We had this last year as well. We had a similar question. We were wondering, and the way I look at it, Jack, is this. So your yo lamb now at 21 kilos or thereabouts, probably 170, 175 euros. Whether hoggets that you're going to be buying are going to be upwards of 200 or whether hoggets are going to be at that rate, it's hard to know. It all depends on the breeding, Jack. If you have nice, say, your lambs that you're happy with the breeding, I'd always be saying they're good sheep to bring into your system. You know where they're coming from. If they suit your job, you have a closed flock policy, no disease risk. So I'd be majoring on that side of things. But if they're terminally bred lambs that aren't suiting your system, I'd be saying take your 175 and put your small bit of money with it at the back end of the year.
I like it. Excellent. Leave it back to you in a minute, Darren. Aidan, one quick fire for you. Ask Aidan, would he plan to stay milking into November this year, given where milk prices are, or given where cull cow prices are, would he tidy up the herd as beef prices are high and feed prices are high? Aidan, bit of a lots in that, but give us your thoughts on where you are.
Sure. The one formula and one part of the equation that's missing there is silage stocks and feed stocks. You know, if silage stocks are plentiful, I'd probably milk on, to be honest, Jack. But if silage stocks are scarce, I'd be more inclined to reduce the cow numbers and probably do that earlier than later. Earlier being, as the questioner says, you know, kind of August, September, maybe, rather than October, November. But silage stocks is scarce, you know, in general. Well, when I say scarce, there's plenty of silage around. But we're thinking ahead to 2023, and if fertilizer is scarce again next year, silage stocks may not be plentiful. So I think you need to take a long view on this, and going for a short win mightn't be the wise thing to do over time. So I'd be looking at how much silage you have and how much silage you're going to make next year.
Declan, back to you again. I mean, were you out? We talked about the kind of the beef trade, maybe back a touch there in the quick fire questions. Were you out and about? Did you hear much kind of reaction to that? Or do guys think it's going to stay slipping?
Yeah, look, factory quotes are probably, they're trying their best to pull it back, maybe 5, even 10 cents in places. But, you know, that's not going down too well. And farmers are reluctant to sell. Like, numbers are still really tight when you see the throughput again is back again week on week the last few weeks. So the numbers aren't there. So I think, you know, they can only try that for so long. But still, again, if you're talking to finishers, the factories are standing on price. There's no real change there for guys that are supplying decent numbers. And I think with the way numbers are, you're going to see that, right? We might have hit the peak, but I don't think we're going to fall away any much over the next few weeks. Mart trade maybe again reacted to that slightly. We're seeing bullocks slightly back on last week, but they hadn't been up from on the previous week. So again, really strong prices. Talking to mart managers throughout the week, you know, they're saying there's still a huge demand for that forward store and that finished animal, and you know, factory agents willing to pay that top price for those animals to secure them, just to get numbers into factory floors. Where you might have seen it cooling slightly is your planar type cull cow slightly, but again, looking at the MarkBits database, actually those say real good U-grading cow, continental cows are actually up on the week, and that's been driven by manufacturing demand for beef. So, you know, it's a positive story still out there. looking at the weanlings then, look, the smaller numbers out at the moment, so it is more variable, but you know, still decent prices there for good quality stock. So overall, you know, it is a positive story.
I mean, the weanlings won't really kick in for another while yet, that those sales. Is that when kind of would the bulk of those start coming out, Declan?
Look, you start to see some autumn barn stock coming out probably in the next month, 6 weeks. But until you see them coming, you know, it's very variable in numbers, and the quality of stock probably is more variable as well. So that's why you're seeing greater swings week to week.
Tell me, were you out on any of the dairy beef farms this week?
Yeah, so down in Tipperary this week, and look, it's traveling from Sligo down to South Tipperary, you couldn't see a bigger swing in ground conditions and grass growth and grass availability. For once, the West is the place to be. Like, we've had we're constantly getting enough moisture. Ground up till last weekend was actually quite dodgy in spots. That real windy weather over the weekend has dried out things really well, and grass growth is still fairly good up here in the West. Whereas when I go down to South Tip, they're doing rain dances down there trying to get some moisture in the ground. Again, that wind last weekend just sucked out whatever last bit of moisture was in the ground, is now gone. You're seeing swards going to head like at really low covers. So we're battling that. We're prioritizing the calves, because, you know, they're still developing their rumen, and, you know, any check to them at the moment could have long-term effects. Whereas, okay, we're trying to finish those year and a half holes off grass, but I'm fairly confident they did bounce back fairly quick after a short period of lower than optimum nutrition. So we're hoping, you know, they're grazing, say, the raggier stuff, whereas the calves are now going into after grass. So we're prioritizing the calves. The year and a half holes, look, they're a bit discontented at what they're being forced to graze out, but we have to make them eat it because we don't have a whole lot of other options. But again, it is just a pinch point. I'm hoping if we do get a bit of rain, we'll be out with the fertilizer again and get things pushed on. But definitely it's a tough couple of weeks down there at the moment.
You're lucky to have the aftergrass, Declan. Like, so that obviously was kind of bales taken off relatively early, mid-May, was it? Or, you know, 4 weeks growth type of piece.
Yeah, so it'll be in around the 24th of May, I think, we cut them in crop silage. So they're just kind of coming back again. They're slow enough coming back because crops, again, were heavier. As we're hearing right across the country, first cut silage crops are really heavy. So where you've taken a heavier crop off, you're going to be that bit slower coming back. But they are coming back available for grazing for calves now, which has taken the pressure off massively. Like, we only have a demand of 42 kilos down there. So where it is in South Tip, if it can't grow that, we're in bad situation. But currently growth is probably just around the 40 to 41 kilos. So we're thereabouts meeting demand. It's the quality is the real issue there at the moment.
Okay. And what are you doing on nitrogen, Declan, on that farm? That's a fairly well-stocked kind of dairy beef farm.
It is, yeah. But look, we've definitely spread a lot less than last year. There's probably been three rounds of nitrogen gone out like at a bag per acre at this stage. There's been nothing now in the last, I'd say, a month. And some of that is due, well, we were in that real heavy growth period. We pulled back and maybe we should have kept going. But we had so much grass, we were pulling out surpluses nearly every week. There was surpluses coming out. And then we haven't spread in the last two and a half weeks because of lack of moisture. So we're waiting, ready to go once we get the bit of moisture to spread again.
Have you done any weighing lately, Declan? I know at one stage there earlier in the grazing season, there was a decent difference between the bullocks and the heifers. Like, have you done any weighing lately in terms of the different classes that you have?
Yeah, no, they haven't been weighed since that, Jack, but we'll weigh again kind of towards the end of July. And from that, then we pull out. We identify, say, the most forward of heifers and bullocks. So usually we're talking about heifers that are over 480, 490 kilos and bullocks that are over the 500 to 520 mark. And we start feeding them. Or, you know, the buttier types that are never going to be huge animals but are carrying flesh. So we'll push them on fairly quick and get rid of them. And then they start being fed at grass from maybe 1st of August. And then the rest of them will probably start from the 1st of September. There might be a pick this year that will get away without any meal feeding. You know, we picked out some last year, but what we saw was the ones that we sent away without any meal feeding, killouts are so low. You know, you really do get 1.5-2% increase in kill out by be feeding that even 3 kilos a meal for a couple of weeks pre slaughter. So I'd say we will feed at least that.
So I was just kind of coming back to the quick fire question. So the plan is more or less still the same, even though the price of meal has gone up. You're saying that you're going to come in with that couple of weeks of meal just to really flesh them off towards the end.
I think so. Yeah, it is a gamble, Jack. Look, we're probably tied into a system there. You know, we want to follow these animals right the way through to compare the different sires and that. So we're not going to cash them in at this stage. But there are people in the Thrive program and other farms that are probably looking at offloading at least some cattle. We'll stick it out. We'll hope that the beef trade stays positive. And look, there's every reason to believe it should do. And obviously, we're going to feed as little meal as possible. But we won't be pulling it out altogether. We'll definitely be keeping it in and get animals over the line.
Any health treatments going in at the moment or anything that guys are for either groups of stocks, either the calves or the calves are continuously being dosed, I presume, or are you testing down there or what's happening there in terms of worming? Yeah.
Yeah, we're testing away there. We actually haven't had to go in with a worm dose as of yet. And there's no lung worm either. You know, calves are fairly clear. I suppose it's the good dry weather. It's probably just low worm burdens. If we were to get a shot of rain now, I would say that you'd have a big hatch, and there would probably be need to go in then at that stage. But up to now, we've been fine. They were in there earlier on in the week, and they were got their second clostridial vaccine, the booster dose for that. And the youngest calves were only weaned there last weekend, the last 14. So all weaned now, and they're running in three batches of 50 across the farm. So we have kind of our most forward, and then the middle ones, and then the youngest batch, all right? But they're still getting a kilo of meal at grass, and we're keeping straw with them as well, just to keep the gut right. Although, you know, they've been grazing maybe a bit hairier pasture there in the last few weeks, so we have seen straw intake has reduced, but it's still there as an option if they need it. And we're keeping the kilo of meal going right through this year. You'll be glad to hear.
I was just going to say, you changed your tack on that. I mean, a couple of times, like in terms of feed, not feed. I mean, what's driving that decision to keep the kilo of meal in?
See, so last year we fed all the way through, and I definitely think this year we have a tighter batch of year and a half holes, and we have more forward animals. So I think we'll pull it off the slaughter age at this end. So look, you can take out your kilo of meal for the first summer, but I think you'd end up putting it back in the finishing phase. The other way of looking at it was this year, with the cost of silage and the cost of what meal is going to be during the winter, we didn't want cattle coming into the house behind target. So we want them ticking along nicely this first grazing season. If they come in on target, then if we have good quality silage, we should get away with feeding, you know, a kilo and a half a meal. So we kind of save it back during the first winter period.
Okay. So, I mean, as you say, you'll get it out of it by bringing the kind of slaughter dates together rather than push than kind of the stragglers. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's so, I mean, really, it's an extra 350 kilos a meal to those calves in that first year, Declan, give or take, like, is it?
Yeah, well, look, would they be feeding them indoors anyway? So you're talking, they'd definitely be fed up to the middle of June. That's kind of the first time you could take it out. So you're talking from mid-June to housing. So you're talking probably 150, 180 days. Okay. So that's kind of the extra meal that you're putting in. But if you can pull back your first winter feeding by a kilo, that could be 100 kilos saved. And if you're pulling 2 weeks off your slaughter date, that's another saving there. So, you know, it swings and roundabouts. I don't think we're going to have a huge extra feed by feeding all the way through.
And it depends, as you say, in terms of the system, like you want to finish them and you want to get them right. Whereas some farmers that are selling, they mightn't see the return straight away for that extra meal going in during that first winter, it might be fair to say.
I think we have a lot less late maturing types on farm for finishing this year too. So, you know, that's just kind of the way we've gone over the last few years. Last year, calf price was so high that we didn't pay it for those continental calves, so there's very few of them. Yeah. And this spring again, look, we've probably 85-90% are Angus and Hereford, which are suited to that early finishing system. If we were feeding more Blues, Charlies, Smentals, then, you know, the system we're working probably isn't the right one. You know, they're going to have to take that bit more time. They're probably going to have to go back into the house for a second winter. But with the genetics that we're currently working with, we can do what we're doing.
Thanks, Declan. Darren, moving to you. In terms of, I suppose, prices and where they are this week, I mean, is it fair to say, a bit like the beef, that the lamb prices got a bit of a pull, or where are they?
Well, it's been a sort of astonishing week, Jack, because this time last week we were talking about, or some factories, I should say, were talking about prices coming under pressure. Then lamb supplies tightened over the weekend. Monday, Kildare Chillen increased their base coat by 10 cents a kilo up to 20 plus 10. So putting anybody going into them at 8.30 a kilo, or some of the other factories followed suit and went up 5 to 10 cents, ranging anywhere 7.95 to 8 euros. So there's a bit of differential entering the trade, maybe 10, 20 cents there. Anybody, I suppose, Jack, trading is getting above 8.10. So general start price is 8.10 to 8.20. Kildare, 8.20 to 8.30. And in at the top of the market, 8.30 to 8.40. Now, I'm not at all trying to do the factories. Factories are well able to talk the trade back themselves. The one cloud on the horizon is that the UK price that we talked about, there was a 20 pence of a jump last week, that just turned very quickly again, and it came out of the market as quick as it came in over the weekend. And there is some reports of UK, I suppose, processors selling lambs now very competitively in key European markets and undercutting Irish lamb a bit. Now, that's not to say this prices are coming back. That's just a caution that the factories have said is that just something to worry about. You'd hope that supplies in the UK would tighten up fairly quick. And if that did, it would help settle the whole job. But at the moment, what's driving it here is, it's, I suppose, phenomenal figures on lamb throughput. Like if we look at the number of lambs, say, in the system, last week's kill, 37,000, 5,000 or 6,000 below the corresponding week. And last year, the lamb kill so far is 40,000 head back, still 5,000 hoggets in the kill. Like there's 180,000 hoggets extra, sorry, 190,000 hoggets extra killed. So massive throughput of hoggets. So all of this spring, thankfully, has been on the back of strong market performance, strong demand, and we're looking forward to the Eid al-Adha festival on the 9th to the 13th of July. So taking everything together shows that there should be good market performance, but just that one word of caution around the UK. The other big development this week, Jack, is yours. I don't know whether your mate is yours to sell, but you could tell him when you get off the phone that to be thinking about if he's yours, pulling him out and calling like yours hitting 4 euros a kilo, unheard of this time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, but Darren, the numbers of yours would be relatively small. Like, would it go on at this time of the year? Like,
the kill, I suppose, is steady around 5,500, 6,000 head in recent weeks. So, like, it's steady, but it's no smaller. I know lambs are tighter, but like the oak kill is no tighter. I suppose what is definitely driving the oak kill, Jack, is there's an insatiable demand and say there's wholesale buyers buying yours for the carcass trade, going to Italy, going to Germany, parts of France, and also there's live exporters buying yours, and they are going across to the UK market for the yaw trade. So like that in itself is like, I wouldn't be at all worried about the yaw thing. While I said about the lambs, maybe the UK being undercutting it, the yaw prices in the UK are even higher than here.
Yeah. Okay. No, I hear you. Like, and believe me, I won't say it to him because he let me down digging yours if I do say it to him. Darren, in terms of, you talked about the lambs and where they are in terms of like 40,000 less. Like, I mean, that's fairly significant, is it? Like for kind of, I call it early in the lamb selling year. You know, the kind of way for those spring lambs that are coming out. Like, is 40,000 down significant?
Sure is, Jack. Like when you take, there's probably only, what has there been, 12 weeks of lambs being killed in any numbers? Like if even, I'd say maybe 10 weeks of lambs being killed. So like it's an average of 4,000 to 6,000 every week. Like, so it is like, that's, they're significant numbers when you see that. And part of this, I said, well, look, part of it is farmers, not as many farmers feeding. And that's slightly, we touched on it last week, of a bit of maybe variation in lamb quality, but it's definitely definitely, I suppose, apparent now that there isn't as many farmers feeding. And even we were talking to some of the feed merchants just on feed prices this week, and they said that this time of the year, where they might have farmers of small numbers coming on a weekly basis buying their 4 or 5 bags of creep, that has nearly disappeared. Yes, right. There is some of the highly stocked farmers still feeding, but yeah, the ones that seem to be out of the void are the sort in between. Farmers that would have just tipped out a bit of meal to lambs when meal was at that price last year to keep them ticking along. They're ticking probably along, the same farmers, Jack, that haven't spread as much fertilizer, I imagine, that they probably stayed back altogether. So they're probably getting a double whammy there, and maybe less fertilizer, less feed, and that's having a big implication.
Yeah. Darren, in terms of the grass supply situation on sheep farms, like, I mean, we talked to Declan and he was saying in South Tip where he was there on a dairy beef farm this week, it's drying up and they're crying out for rain, versus up around him there in Sligo, there's no bother, there's lots of grass and it's kind of, I'll call it damp and it kind of a drizzle all the time to an extent. So grass growth isn't an issue. Like there must be big differences. The majority of your guys are, I'd say, are on the West Coast, but you still have plenty of guys on the East Coast that are probably dry, aren't they?
Yeah, and even within them areas, didn't you have a massive variation too? It's totally down to fertilizer, the amount of fertilizer spread and stocking rate. But in general, Jack, yeah, like what Declan is saying is totally right in this. Growth has slowed. Even highly stocked farmers, Kilkenny, Wexford, Tip, down that side, they're all saying, look, the growth has slowed. And the ones that are caught most, they've took out a bit, maybe extra grass a few weeks ago. That's slower coming back in. Did everything that you'd say textbook right, but just the weather has turned a bit on them. Now, you come up my side of the country then, and there's the problems. It range from too much grass, quality hard to control, and say lowly stock farms, to then maybe some of the highly stocked farms didn't maybe get the sunshine that the fellas in the East got, and growth rates didn't hit that sort of 70, 80, 90 kilos, and they didn't grow as much grass, and they haven't maybe got silage because of that rain, haven't got silage out when they want. And they might be caught just now, but I'd see they're going to be caught maybe in a couple of weeks when it comes to weaning.
Okay. I was going to say, Darren, I mean, is there those guys in the East that are tight now on grass, maybe for whatever reason, as you say, maybe took out a little bit too much for silage, turned dry and hence didn't get the growth rates, or maybe they were even doing a bit of topping or whatever. Is there any of them, will say, thinking about maybe weaning early or doing something kind of maybe a little bit different to kind of react to that situation?
Yeah, talking to one farmer this week, Jack, Lamsey's Joe Hoggett, say after the first cycle of yours, always looks after them fairly well. And he is weaning in the next 10 days, and he said he's going to wean Everton. So his Joe Hoggett will be weaned 11, 12 weeks of age. And he said that'll give him a reprieve as well. He'll wean all the lambs, and he said he'll tighten them up. Yours are in good condition, so he said he can tighten them up fairly well, but also it'll take the pressure off the O'Hoggets to get them back on track for next year, and he'll prioritise what he has. And what the second thing that he's going to do, now he usually wouldn't feed much meal, but he said that the fact that prices are going holding well at the moment, he said that he's going to just apportion out lambs. He hasn't a huge amount of draft gone, but anything sort of 36, 37, 38 kilos upwards with a bit of flesh, he's going to start feeding them on a small base, put them in a separate thing just to keep them moving. Because the way he's looking at it is this, while things could turn and he'll be back on track in a few weeks, he said this, he can just spread a bit less fertilizer if that happens. If things don't turn, well, still has the foundation led there to keep them forward lambs moving, and he can bring another bunch in as they're going. So look, it's horses for courses, but I think that you have to sit down and look. And also, like, for fellas that haven't their silage out now, that'll be stuck maybe getting after grass back in, they need to be looking at another area. And it's not, say, coming in the top of an area to have lush grass. It's maybe giving an area rest rate as a fresh bite on it for lambs as a break until after grass does come in. Because that's the other thing is, look, I know a lot of lads are talking about topping and grass quality and everything, but if you're short of grass, I prefer to leave the bit that I have there rather than be going in topping, because it'll be good for something sort of.
Yeah, no, definitely, and it'll top and will crash growth rates. Nothing but like crash growth rates. Like, I mean, so really, there are things that guys can do. And as you say, it's a bit like coming back to Declan. He was prioritizing the good grass, the good young grass at calves at the younger stock. The same would happen, as you say, if you wean early and you could tighten up the oars and get good grass into the lambs and decide if you need to feed meal, etc., and that kind of thing. So, no, interesting to see that, Darren. The other big piece this week, of course, is kind of, I suppose, you've been to a couple of organic farm walks and really there's a big push coming on from the department, and indeed I presume Chagas over the coming years, to get more and more farmers, especially dry stock farmers, into that organic scheme. Talk to me about kind of what you're hearing is going to happen.
Yeah, and like, it's not just farmers, it's not just the departments and Chagas. Farmers seem to have an appetite check. Like, at different farm walks I've been at, there's been big numbers. Now, sorry, I should couch that. There's been big numbers coming to here, because there still is, there's all this talk about organics, all the talk about higher payment rates, priority to the agri-environmental scheme, and there's still a cautiousness, but farmers are willing to come and listen in an era where attendance to farm walks is still low. But look, at what we're hearing, Jack, is there's going to be a significant increase in the price, in the payment rates per hectare. Now, we're hearing somewhere in the region of 250 euros per hectare. That would be up 30 euros on the conversion rate. It'd be up significantly on the 170 euros in full organic status.
Okay.
Could even go more, who knows? That's the plan that's gone at the moment, is that there'll be enhanced payment rates in it. As well as that, farmers in organics are going to get priority entry into the agri-environment scheme. And I think that could be a big one. That could turn a lot of people's heads, because I think that's going to be oversubscribed. The rate of grant aid is proposed to go from 40% to 50%. Under the on-farm capital investment scheme that's going to come in 2023. And as well as that, Jack, there's been changes already, say, in the last 12 to 18 months, in that we've talked about them before, that payment, the higher rate, higher area for payment has gone from 60 hectares to 70 hectares. And at the other end of the spectrum, the minimum stocking rate has gone back from 0.5 to 0.15. So that's going to bring in more extensive farmers. And as you mentioned, Jack, everybody is gearing up for more, people coming into organics. And like, we understand that Chagas are taking on two new organic specialists immediately and six over the next 18 months. Like, that would bring, I think there's three there at the moment, five and six, it'll bring them up to 10 or 11. Like, that in itself, Jack, is a fair indication of where they see it going.
Yeah, and like you say, Darren, you know, the mood at those farm walks, like, as you say, there's big numbers there. There's 100 plus at those farm walks. Am I right in saying that? Like, and do you feel like that they're there just to listen, or are they really interested? Or kind of, what are kind of the questions when they happen? Like, are they, you know, what does it kind of feel like or sound like?
So there's two things, Jack. Some are there to listen, probably haven't telling themselves, I'm not going organics. But on the other side, they're still saying, well, let's just listen to see what they have. Some of them would not like to see their system, or would not like to be to think of that their system would be going organics, but the way they're looking at it is, are the payment rates too good to turn down? Yeah. The big issue, Jack, that is coming up as time and time again at the farm walks is the premium and selling your produce conventionally. And yeah. I know you can argue and you can have a debate about this, about, well, the premium is there to compensate you, or the organic payment is there to compensate for the lack of the premium. But that's very hard to explain to somebody, that you're producing what we're told is a premium product and then selling it to the conventional price. And I think, we really need to do something on that. Like, in one of the farm walks in Roscommon, there was a department person there from our organic unit, Kevin McGeever, and he said, look, what he said, over the next 2 years, he said that Borbia said that if they get more produce, that they can unlock markets that are there, but they can't unlock at the moment because we don't have enough critical mass. Maybe that is the case, Jack. I don't know. But definitely, I think to close the whole picture and have organics as a real attractive proposition, can't be just on the payment rates. There has to be something done on the markets as well.
On that price piece, like, but I mean, Darren, is it fair to say that a lot of the organic lamb already and a lot of the organic beef already is being sold at conventional price, even, you know, I call it the relatively small quantity that we have in the country?
Yeah, look at it is, Jack. Like that's reality at the moment. It's unfortunate because a lot of the established organic people at the Infair Marks went organic for, I suppose, some of them went organics for the love of organics or the interest in organics. This cohort is probably going to bring, say, some farmers that are interested in organics, some that are going in because of payment rates as well. So it's a pity. Did some of them farmers were saying that, say, are long established organic producers that are maybe selling some produce, they're making the point now, this cohort coming in is going to flood the market. So I think that needs to be looked at as well around the marketing side. But there's no getting around the fact, Jack, that if payment rates do rise to 250 euros a hectare, you're going to be in the ballpark of the same as the average payment under the BPS or higher with if you leave out eco scheme payments. So it has to be something that farmers will look at seriously.
Okay, 100%, Garen. I'm sure we'll come back to that again in the coming weeks as the situation develops. Thanks for that. Chat to you next week. Aidan, I understand you were farm walking this week. You were down in Limerick at that Kerry Agribusiness Farm Walk.
Yeah, Jack and Charles, there with many other farmers. There's a huge turnout at it. One of the biggest farm walks I'd say I've been at since COVID restrictions ended. So yeah, like, great to see farmers out in abundance again. So look, the McCarthys are brilliant operators. You've been down, Jack, through the NDC. You know, they won the award last year for the milk quality, but to be honest, it's more than just milk quality now, as you'll say yourself, as you know, judging that competition. It's only one parameter: sustainability, top class grassland management, good herd of cows, good team working together, all working together, I suppose, to make the farm a success story. One thing that jumped out to me, Jack, is their sustainability figure. Their carbon footprint is 0.7 of a kilo of fat and protein corrected milk for every of CO2 for every kilo of fat and protein corrected milk. I mean, a marvelous figure, like, considering the average in the country is 1, and I think that's about a 20% better than where it was in 2019. So, you know, progress. I mean, if you're to look at a farmer of the future, you'd probably say this is as close as you're going to get to it, you know.
Yeah, and Aidan, I know, as you say, from being on the farm, like, that they've even just kind of the whole biodiversity piece, and like this is a real family farm in terms of a slightly older generation and younger generation coming on the farm, and they've replanted hedges and done a few bits and pieces like that, you know, on the farm over the last couple of years, and you're beginning to see it kind of, you know, rather than just clean green pastures, like, you know what I mean, there's definitely more hedging and there's more kind of diversity in the sward, it's fair to say, probably as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was actually, would you believe, when I drove into the yard, I realized I was actually there in 2015 as part of a different thing we're looking at. So I was on the farm previously, and they were milking 120 cows back then. Alex has since joined the business, and I suppose he's probably brought another edge to it in terms of extra energy coming into it. They've increased cow numbers to 170. And as you say, yeah, they've bought new land, they've planted new ditches, new hedges, and they've also got multi-species and so on this year for the first time. They have about 30% of the farm with decent levels of clover now. They hope to have 40% by the end of this year. They have new reseeds going in. They have more stitching going in. And that clover land that they would have stitched in last year, that's now getting half rate nitrogen. So they are making huge reductions in terms of the amount of nitrogen that they're going to be spreading. So it's you're right. Like, it's not just a green desert, as you hear in some of these places. And it's a fine farm, you know, good land, good quality land, a well-established farm. They're fifth or sixth generation of McCarthy's milking cows there. So they're at it a long time. Yet you're right. They're focusing on the biodiversity, the hedgerows and everything else that's in that.
Yeah. I mean, Aidan, I talked to Declan and Darren both in terms of the contrast that's there across the country in terms of grassland management. Like, I mean, Declan talked about the Sligo and in general the West being kind of very good for grass growth rate at the moment. Kind of that moisture is still in the ground versus as he talked about South being very dry and growth rates kind of crashing down to kind of 40 for mid-June, which is obviously very low, you know. So, I mean, I'm sure the majority of your people are in the South, Southeast, Southwest, we'll say. They're probably kind of relatively tight, are they, Aidan? Or is that just too much of a generalisation?
Title is probably a bit too kind, I'd say, if anything, Jack. You know, they're low in many cases. Yeah. I was with a discussion group earlier in the week, and a good few were feeding 4, 5, 6 kilos of meal. A share of them, a handful, were feeding silage as well, but they're all saying they're going to be feeding silage for the weekend or beyond that, into early next week, just because they can see, but you know, there's no regrowth coming, or you know, very poor regrowth coming.
Yeah.
And what's on the farm now is there, and not much coming back. I suppose to take it in context, Jack, I have the paper this week. Cork Airport has only got 65% of its normal rainfall for the first 6 months of this year. So back 35%. It's a similar situation in Shannon. Gartine is something similar as well. So it's Munster is more affected, particularly South Munster. As Declan and Darren are saying, you know, the West Coast and the North Side aren't near, you know, they're probably getting too much rain, if anything. But like that's a serious reduction in rainfall. And okay, look, we had rain last week, but again, or 10 days ago at the stage, when Declan says that wind was there and it blew it all away again. So it actually got very little value for the 10 or 15 millet that fell the weekend before last. So we're back to kind of, you know, the situation where farm cover is falling, growth rates are falling. Farmers are having to put in a lot of extra feed in order to bridge the gap. But look, if the rain comes, it'll turn around again overnight. So it's just a matter of buying the time. We're not in a severe deficit like we were in 2018 or anything next or near. We've had these periods of deficits in 2019 and 2020 and 2021. So we're kind of getting used to them. My only fear now is that it'll go on longer than we want. Look, if we get 10 or 12 days like this and rain comes, we'll have forgotten about it again.
I mean, what are, like, it brings a lot more workload to a farm, Aidan, doesn't it? Especially a dairy farm, if you're feeding silage kind of morning and evening or whatever the case may be. I mean, how are guys managing that piece, just in terms of the kind of the practical kind of day-to-day piece, in terms of when they're feeding the silage, if they are feeding kind of, as you say, 3, 4, 5 kilos a meal per cow on top of that?
Well, I suppose most people are feeding them once a day, Jack. You know, the silage is in the yard or it's out the field, whatever is easiest. And the meal then has been fed, you know, if they're on 5 kilos, it's 2.5 morning and evening, to keep it as simple and straightforward as possible. But it's certainly not easy. It is adding extra work to it. But it's, you know, it's not the end of the world either. And, you know, if you have a good feed face, you can put in a lot of silage there and they get, you know, maybe it's a few hours morning and evening before or after each milking to get the silage into them, or else the share the cows get it at any one milking and it's worked away from there.
And Aidan, just to be devil's advocate, is there any piece in this in terms of the nitrogen and I suppose the chemical nitrogen that was spread, we'll say, or wasn't spread earlier in the year, I suppose, impacting on growth rates now, like we'll say, is there any? And, you know, a lot of people, we talked about it in other shows, they were going out with slurry, they weren't maybe going out with as much bag nitrogen, or is it just a moisture piece at this very time?
Well, I think there's something in that, Jack, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, ground, there's not much background nitrogen there as there would have been maybe previously. And grass is stressed. Now, it's stressed because of a lack of moisture or a lack of kindness or a lack of heat, whatever. It's definitely stressed. And I'd say nitrogen is in the mix there as well somewhere. You see farmers that are, you know, that have maybe maintained the high levels of nitrogen. You know, the grass isn't as stressed as it is and as those that have reduced it greatly. And even on within farms, you know, on the clover fields, they're definitely more stressed than the non-clover fields, I suppose, that are getting the full rate of nitrogen. So there's an element of that there. Does that mean I go out now spreading nitrogen? Probably not. You know, uptakes are going to be reduced if ground is getting dry. But I'd say, and there probably will be a lot of background mineralization going on, you know, during this dry spell as well. We had that 2018 as well. So, you know, it's a bit late at this stage. I don't think it might make a whole lot of odds. You know, the cost of spreading that extra nitrogen, would it have grown any more grass? I'm not sure. It probably might have made a few extra bales, or you'd have worse quality grass now. So it's hard to know how, you know, what's the best way of dealing it. But doubt about that.
Okay, 100%, Aidan. I know you're under pressure. I'll leave you alone. Thanks for that. And we'll chat to you again next week. Right, folks, that's it for another week. Thanks for watching. And indeed, thanks for listening. Thanks to all our own specialists, Declan, Darren and Aidan. Remember, you can listen back to any of the recent webinars or podcasts on ifj.ie/podcast. Shout out once again to our supporters, Grassland Agro and ESB Networks, for helping us make this show happen. We'll be back again next week. Until then, stay safe and safe farming.
Thank you.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.